The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 21st, 2006. I'm Tom Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, as we do every afternoon, we'll check in on the global agricultural weather forecast. Today, the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will be on the line. One other special note for the day. Along the way, we'll hear from the John Deere Pro Farmer Ag Crop Tour. That's happening this week, and we have the latest on their first day of exploration. It all happens on this Monday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. September wheat at 365 and three quarters, up a penny and a quarter for the day. December futures at 385 and a half, up two and one quarter. Kansas City wheat, September contract, $4.53 and three quarters a bushel. They finished a half lower on the day. September corn futures, 221, a settlement price up one and a quarter. The December contract up a penny and three quarters at 237 and a half. And the March corn futures at 251 and three quarters were up one and three quarters today. December 07 contract at 286 and a half, up 2 cents. September soybean futures for the day up one and a quarter at 548 and a quarter. November futures at 561 and a quarter, up three quarters. And January's up a penny at 573 and three quarters. November beans at $6.19 for next year, two and a quarter higher. Soybean meal futures unchanged today at $159.30. Soybean oil futures September contract at 25.17 were up 25. At the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle 105 higher at $116.37.5 a hundredweight. August live cattle at 87.52.5 were up 35 cents. And the October live cattle 77.5 higher at 91.65. October lean hogs $67 and a nickel. They were up 72.5 cents. Outside markets for the day, September crude oil futures, $72.50 a barrel, up $1.36. The CRB index at 335.47. They were up 3.15. And the U.S. dollar at 84.63, down 0.46. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 11,334 is off 46 points for the day. And the August gold at $626, up $13.90 this afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
First of all, I'm looking forward to working with you next week at the Amana Colonies when we'll be at the Farm Progress Show in the AgriGold tent. Thanks for hiring on for the day.
Appreciate that. It's always fun to go out and be able to meet everybody, and got quite an exciting panel to work with there, too.
Yeah, Chuck Shelby is on with you, Steve Erdman of the EFG Group, Sue Martin is with you, and Ed Kieser, of course, our chief meteorologist, and that's one of, nine panels, actually, nine panels over those 3 days in the middle of next week at the Farm Progress Show. Once again, stop by and see us at the AgriGold tent. I think you'll be tomorrow evening busy, too, won't you, with Dickie?
Yeah, we've got quite a program here in Bloomington Normal. Everyone's invited. We have a meeting at 7 o'clock at Normal High School West, Normal West, and we're going to have David Hightower from the Hightower Report, Steve Freed with ADM Investor Service, and, of course, Dan Zwicker with AgriVisor. All three of those individuals are going to be at Normal Community West, 7 o'clock tomorrow. tomorrow evening, and be sure to come by. We did this last year, and we had quite a crowd and quite an interesting conversation. They had everybody on the edge of their seats.
Yeah, and Dave Dickey will be up there to lead that one. That same night, I'll be in Terre Haute with Paul Cooley and Kay Whitlock and Wayne Nelson. So a couple of Outlook meetings. Yours at 7 o'clock, and the one in, that's Central Time, of course, the one in Terre Haute at Terre Haute Grain is at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, but if you want to come at 6 o'clock, they're going to feed you just a few sandwiches and such. So they're far enough apart that probably we won't overlap too much. What are they, 3-4 hours apart, something like that. So it's a pretty good distance between those two, but it'll be busy evening tomorrow evening. How was the day in Chicago today, light or busy?
Well, it was somewhat light volume. The overall attitude was sort of landlocked, per se. The volume on the day, when you look at the end of the day, funds bought about 1,500 contracts of wheat, about 1,000 contracts of corn, about 500 contracts of beans. But for the range, you're only talking 2 to 4 cent range in the beans, and just about 2 cent trading range in the corn. And that's kind of odd, you know, coming in here on Monday and seeing such narrow trading range. But I think the trade's sort of waiting for some new news to develop to give them reason to push the market one way or another. And hopefully maybe with the pro-farmer crop tour can shed a little light on that. Early reports that we saw in the news wires, you'll get more detailed as the day goes on, but they were finding excellent yields in the eastern state of Ohio and variable yields in the western state of South Dakota there, where the heat and the drought sort of, you know, played havoc with that crop. But we'll get more details as that comes in. Some people really put a lot of emphasis on this report, some discount, but the thing is they do give some interesting observations as they tour these states.
And indeed they do, and they make some pretty hefty tours. Have you ever been out on one of these tours?
No, I have not. I'd love to maybe try it one of these times, but I've heard people... I've met for several different people that have done it. They've stopped here in Bloomington for several years now, and I've not made the last one or two, but it's been always interesting to step in and listen to their findings and meet the guys on the tour.
Yeah, maybe we can get them to pop over tomorrow night and talk to you guys. I think they're there tomorrow evening, so it might be good to see if we can. We'll talk to Chip Flory. I'll give him a call, or somebody will, and see whether we can get him to stop over and update you at your meeting tomorrow evening. How about that?
Sure.
All right. What else have we got going on that we ought to be paying attention to? Maybe the cash grain market?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're starting to see the old crop get cleaned up here as it starts to find a home and sort of concerned about where we're going to put the new crop. So from a cash grain marketing standpoint, we did see a little bit of strength in the basis on this last price break. We'll see what develops here as time goes on. But that's sort of the main concern is the cash side of the equation here. It's kind of tough, you know. For some reason, all of a sudden, these storage charges are starting to go up, and producers are starting to push the pencil on what's going to cost me to carry this crop. But with the carry in the marketplace and the wide basis and LDP starting to kick in some areas, I think producers are probably looking at being tight holders here and maybe sort of hang on this crop into this winter and see what type of demand surfaces. We're starting to see some demand develop. There's been talk that China's in the U.S. bean market, up to maybe 9 cargoes of beans from last week there. We're seeing some Korean business. They bought some option origin corn, half from the U.S. and half from China. So we're starting to see the demand pick up on this break, which is good. But deep down inside the heart of the marketplace, the overall attitude is still long-term bearish due to ethanol usage as we go into 2007 and 2008.
You mean long-term bullish.
Right.
You said bearish.
No, I'm sorry.
You don't want to do that, I know. Hey, speaking of bearish just a bit, did you hear Commodity Week with John Roach this week and maybe the After the Bell segment that we popped into our weekend newsletter where he was talking about storage and the lack of availability of storage for the crop this fall and how far it might push the crop, and if we don't build, how far that might push the crop into the LDP areas each and every fall? It was kind of an interesting conversation, and I think Dan Zwicker will probably want to take it up with you guys tomorrow night up there in Bloomington. So it'll be a good conversation to take up with him. Maybe you ought to ask him some questions about that, I guess.
Yeah, that's the main thing, is finding a home for this crop, because as technology comes along and we see higher yields and we got bigger demand, we're just going to have to produce more. We've got more bushels to work with. But several of these commercials have been promoting programs, the Bill Bins, and producers have been looking at more on-farm storage. We look at the, it's just not this year, but the previous 2 years, we've had some wide bases to work with. So producers are being a little bit more smart about on grain handling and taking advantage of the carrying the market instead of give up ownership at depressed prices right in the early part of harvest. So for the next year or two, I think on-farm storage or storage is going to pay. But, you know, down the road in here, when we start seeing shift the other way, you know, it could be a different story. But that's going to be the key here for at least this year, next year, is trying to find a home for it and wait for basis and prove it to market the grain.
Okay, we appreciate you being with us today.
Very good.
Kirk Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Monday afternoons. Don't forget that you can pick up the Normal West Outlook tomorrow evening in Normal at Normal West High School with Dave Hightower, Steve Freed of ADM, and Dan Zwicker. If you're in that area, if you're in Terre Haute, jump over to the Terre Haute Grain Meeting and with Kay Whitlock, Wayne Nelson, and Paul Cooley. Both of those start at 7 o'clock, one in Central Time, one, of course, in the Eastern Time Zone.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Don't forget to stay with us through the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Our own Ed Kieser forecast for tonight around the two states says skies will be clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 55 in northeastern Indiana to 63 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, says Ed, in the north, partly sunny, a few widely scattered showers, a few thunderstorms possible, too. Elsewhere, mostly sunny, highs from around 80 in far northern Indiana to 88 in southwestern Illinois. Up next, we'll check in with the eastern leg of the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwestern Crop Tour. It's officially underway. Farmers, media, and international visitors started off in Columbus, Ohio, Monday morning. That's the day. And they'll cross the state before heading into Indiana later this evening. Andy Vance of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting is on the tour and files this report.
The goal is to every 20 miles along a given set of roadways, stop and sample one corn and one soybean field. While we're out in the fields, we'll begin with a soybean field. We'll count the number of pods in a 3x3 square foot area. So in other words, in one square yard, how many pods are there on the bean plants? The idea there being it's too early to really get a good yield. As you know, August is the critical month for soybean development. So we're looking at the factory. How many beans can we potentially produce? How many pods are already on the plants? Over there, we're also trying to get an idea of plant health. So far, not too many diseases, but in some counties, a lot of soybeans being eaten up. Beetle activity definitely very, very heavy in a lot of the north central counties. My route this morning, we headed north out of Columbus, up through Marion and into Bucyrus. Then we started sampling just north of Marion, sampled up along Route 4 to Bucyrus, headed up through Sandusky County, then once we got out of Crawford, sampled in Sandusky County, into Seneca County. Now I'm standing in a soybean field just southwest of Bowling Green, Wood County. Of course, we're heading west across Wood County, the southern half, and we'll be heading to Defiance. From Defiance, we're going to head over toward Fort Wayne, and then from Fort Wayne south to Anderson, Indiana. Anderson's where the tour will wrap up this evening. From here, we'll head from Anderson tomorrow morning to Bloomington, Illinois, from Bloomington to Iowa City, Iowa, wrapping up then Thursday from Iowa City to Owatonna, Minnesota. So far, what we've seen in terms of corn, fairly variable. Some fields we saw early yield indications, 100 bushels may be good in some of the fields I've sampled today. Basically, some pollination issues. Some of the ears that were decent length, maybe a 7 or 8 inch cob, only had 5 inches of grain to be made there. Others we saw, some of these ears are going to go right out the straight end of the combine because they're just not going to be big enough to make grain. All in all, though, the plant stands look pretty good. Again, not too many disease issues. It's just been great weather for making grain. but we did apparently have some pollination issues in the north-central part of Ohio. We'll keep you posted along the route as we continue on here, the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. From just southeast of Bowling Green, Ohio, I'm Andy Vance for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Our thanks to Andy and the National Association of Farm Broadcasting for helping out with the John Deere Pro Farmer Tour. By the way, the western leg of that tour is underway as well. Crop Scouts there are rolling across South Dakota and Nebraska, ending up Monday night tonight in Grand Island. Many analysts believe recent rains may have added some bushels to the dryland corn in the western belt. But Chip Flory, who will be our guest this week on Commodity Week this coming Saturday, who's also the Pro Farmer editor and leading the western tour, says Scouts will be on the lookout for yield loss that's been caused by the intense heat during the pollination period.
While we're looking for the good that the rain did, we're also going to be looking very closely for the damage that that heat in the middle of July might have caused to the corn crop.
Now, Terry Johnston is on the Western Tour as a consultant. He says no one on the tour has any preconceived notions about its outcome.
The truth will lie in the results. That is absolutely true. We've got a lot of crop to look at. We're all very excited about it, and we'll let the crop speak for itself.
Pro Farmer's estimate of the South Dakota corn crop and the average soybean pod counts for the state will be released later this evening. You can hear them on WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report tomorrow afternoon. Well, up next, we'll hear a report on LDP and just how they're figured. But first, a reminder for you to visit our website at willag.org. There's all kinds of information there. You can sign up for our weekend newsletter. Just hit the word subscribe. You'll have to scroll down the page just a bit to find that. Up at the top of the page, you'll find all kinds of things, including the latest cattle on feed report and a schedule of our next set of AM 580 Ag Outlook panel meetings. By the way, tomorrow evening, Dave Dickey will be at the Normal West High School in Normal, Illinois. That's on August the 22nd, a Tuesday evening. David Hightower, the Hightower Report, Steve Freed of ADM in Chicago, and Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services will be on for that absolutely free Ag Outlook panel. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at the Normal West High School in Normal, Illinois, Central Time, of course. And on the Eastern Standard Time Zone at Terre Haute Grain, we'll have a meeting tomorrow evening as well. I'll be hosting that one. Kay Whitlock, Wayne Nelson, and Paul Cooley, regulars here on our AM 580 schedule, will join us for the evening. That starts at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock. If you'd like to drop by for some sandwiches, you can call Terre Haute Grain at 812-232-1044. That's 812-232-1044. You can get complete information. We hope to see you at one of those two meetings tomorrow night, either in Terre Haute or at Normal West. You can get complete details on our website at willag.org. When commodity prices are low enough, farmers are able to collect a supplemental payment from the U.S. government called LDP. That stands for Loan Deficiency Payment. LDP can be paid to all farmers in compliance with their conservation plan as required by USDA, but they do not have to participate in any other government farm program. Well, at this time of year, many corn and soybean farmers have questions about how the LDP is figured. This is the way it's done. Every county has a fixed county loan rate set by USDA. This loan rate is different than the national loan rate for corn and soybeans. The national rate is not used to figure LDP. In Champaign County, Illinois, the loan rate is $2.03 for corn and $5.18 for soybeans. So the county loan rate is the first number needed to figure the LDP. The second number is the posted county price. This price is derived from three sources. Every county has two assigned terminal bids and a set of differentials. The higher of the two terminal bids is used daily to figure the posted county price. In Illinois, the terminal bids come from the Gulf, the ports in Louisiana and Texas, and the tract bid, or TKO, is the Decatur bid. A differential is applied to both, and the higher of these two bids minus the differential becomes the posted county price. The differential, assessed daily, accounts for what it costs to transport the crop from the county to the terminal and can be influenced by feedlots and ethanol plants, among others. The posted county price is subtracted from the county loan rate to determine the LDP. To summarize, the posted county price reflects the conditions at terminals, the Decatur bid or the Louisiana and Texas ports for the state of Illinois, minus a differential. The posted county price may vary widely from the actual cash prices in the county or at individual elevators. That's why sometimes when prices in Chicago drop by 10 cents, or at the local elevator the price drops by a dime, the LDP may reflect a 3-cent change, or maybe a 12-cent change. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
On this Monday afternoon, Greg Johnson of the Andersons here in Champaign County joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about cash grain in our area, please.
Well, the good news is basis levels are getting better. Unfortunately, we had to endure a 45-cent drop in the corn market to get those somewhat limited better basis levels, but farm movement has slowed to a crawl as a result of the drop in the price. Farmers are now turning to trying to store as much of this crop as possible. They're looking at the big carries on into next year and beyond, and trying to store as much as they can, and so basis has had to improve to somewhat compensate for this. People are trying to fill up the elevators, fill up their space, and then if the crop really is big and there's additional bushels, then we'll see another decline in basis for that last part of the harvest, the tail part. But I think everybody wants to make sure that they fill up everything, and so the elevators are trying to buy bushels and make sure that their space is going to be filled up as a result of that. So we've seen basis levels improve anywhere from 3 to 5 cents at the local elevator level, and some of the processors have been up as much as 10 or 12 cents here over the last couple of weeks.
Is it your sense that the elevators have emptied out pretty much, or are they simply just buying back a few of the bushels that that they need to finish out the process of filling up their elevators?
It's a little bit of both. We've heard through the grapevine that there's more grain in some places, but then others that ran into problems last year didn't want to make sure they go through that same thing again, so they've emptied out more so. But with the carry in the market, someone is holding on to this corn. I mean, when January corn is worth 30 cents more than the fall bid, people are going to find a way to store. So even if certain elevators and farmers aren't storing it, other ones are. So I still think we're going to be going into the fall with a very, very big carryover. USDA says 2 billion bushels, and that sounds about right.
Right now, are you planning on one or two piles at the Andersons?
Three. We had three last year.
That's right.
Both asphalt pads, and then we actually had some on dirt, and I don't see any way around that this year unless the yields just happen to come in way lower than what we're estimating right now.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes the day at 205. New crop's also 205, with January corn at 234. Old crop and new crop beans are 526. With January at 556, and cash wheat is 316, next July 390.
And finally, any words of wisdom for producers that have old crop left that they can store or sell either way?
I think we're probably ready for a little bit of a bounce. We've hit this market awfully hard over the last 3 or 4 weeks. If we can see a little 5-cent rally, I know it's not much, but if you can get corn sold there and then take an LDP in the fall, that's probably going to beat paying commercial storage rates.
Thanks much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. And that's Greg Johnson of the Andersons here in Champaign County. Of course, when he said you could take your LDP, that's the first time around. So if you LDP'd it last year, you can't do it again this fall, at least not on the old crop. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. In just a few moments, we'll hear from the regional newscast staff here at WILL.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Teachers at Rantoul Township High School have voted to strike if more progress isn't made soon in contract talks. Gene Vandeport of the Illinois Education Association says teachers at Rantoul High voted overwhelmingly today to file an intent to strike notice. But he says no work stoppage could take place for 10 more days at least. Negotiations with a federal mediator are scheduled to resume September 18th, but Vandeport hopes the strike vote will get talks started earlier. District officials are not commenting on the negotiations. The Urbana City Council will review the latest State Transportation Department figures tonight about traffic stops made by Urbana police. The report says minorities continue to be overrepresented among motorists stopped by police in 2005. But Urbana Police Chief Mike Beely says statistics can be misleading, and he does not believe his officers are stopping vehicles solely based on the driver's race. U.S. Senator Barack Obama says the government in South Africa is underestimating the extent of the AIDS problem and needs to do more to prevent the disease. Obama today met with AIDS activist Nobel Prize winner Desmond Tutu on the second day of his two-week African tour. An ethanol plant that's slated to be built in Kankakee will produce some 110 million gallons of ethanol each year. Kankakee Mayor Don Green says the Alternative Energy Sources plant will bring 45 to 55 jobs to the area and use 35 million bushels of corn each year. Court officials say they're pleased with an experiment to bring cameras and microphones into some Indiana courtrooms after the first 2 months. Reporters can record proceedings in courtrooms in Indianapolis, Evansville, and Fort Wayne if all the parties agree. A University of Illinois study of online video games suggests they promote sociability among the players who gather by way of the Internet. U of I speech communications professor Dimitri Williams says many online players get to know each other through regular online encounters game playing, and he says some of the players decide to meet face-to-face after getting acquainted online. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL Urbana. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's a Monday afternoon, and we're always joined then by the folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo on hand this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's a beautiful, beautiful afternoon, and it was a great weekend here in the Midwest. Can we expect more of the same in the near future?
Yes, Todd. The pattern that's been in place here shows all signs of remaining pretty much locked in place as we go through this week and on into next week as well. So as a result, temperatures will be biased just a little bit on the warm side, nothing too warm here, at least extreme in nature, i.e. we don't see any kind of like widespread 90s, but in general, upper 70s north, 80s across much of the Midwest, and from a rainfall standpoint, still dry over the next couple days until a frontal boundary works its way through later on this week, and that'll bring the next opportunity for rain.
Speaking of rainfall, it seems to me August has been pretty plentiful, at least here in my part of the world. How about the rest of the Midwest?
Well, it's been plentiful, not only across a good chunk of Illinois, but across much of the western portion of the Midwest. Kind of Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, those areas have been actually the wettest areas this month, which is quite a change from the dryness that we saw back in July and June. The one area, though, of Illinois that's where rainfall this month has been running a little bit below average is the top a few counties or so. So the far northern portion of Illinois, and then the further east you go, actually the drier. So Michigan has been running below normal, parts of Indiana, Ohio. So overall, it's been kind of variable with the wetter conditions west and the drier conditions east.
The crop scouts for the John Deere Pro Farmer Tour are out and about all this week so that we don't get surprised. Where are they going to find the worst crops when they walk into the fields?
Well, it looks like overall, based on the temperatures and precipitous growing season, that the worst crops overall in places such as South Dakota, some portions of Minnesota, western Iowa, you know, those are the areas that had the extreme heat back in July, and also we saw the largest rainfall deficits of the season, really up until August. And, well, you know, these rains that have occurred this year, this month across those areas certainly been beneficial for soybeans. soybeans, but probably too late to benefit corn.
And they'll be touring South Dakota today, in fact, have been all day long. And for those who want to get that information right away, you can probably pick it up off of the agweb.com site. Of course, we'll have complete details from Chip Flory and company here during the closing market report tomorrow. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, overall, Todd, it's pretty quiet out there in the the weather here, not only across the Midwest, but across areas of the world, too. And so looks like we're kind of at least winding down the Northern Hemisphere growing season, and pretty soon we're going to start looking ahead towards South America.
And we'll have to talk about Brazil and China again next week, okay?
You bet there, Todd.
Thanks much. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons. And that is today's report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for the pre-opening market report. And that you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on our website. Just go to WILL.IAG.UIUC.EDU. Actually, the website changed. I just haven't written down here wrong. WILLAG.ORG. WILLAG.org is the site you want to visit for all of your agricultural information. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.